From KMXT and Kodiak, it's the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Terry Haynes.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. For more information, call 1-907-235-4966 or online at alaskaboat.com.
Sitka Salmon Derby officials were hoping to see some larger fish in this year's contest, and they may have gotten their wish. The top fish after 3 days of fishing came in at 40 pounds, 2 ounces, the largest king in the Derby since 2016. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
The big king was landed by Savannah Plank. She was fishing with her husband and two boys near Middle Island on Sunday when the fish hit. Plank said the king did what salmon do.
He probably peeled a bunch of line 3 times and then kind of got him up to the boat. He never jumped or came out of the water, but he couldn't really tell how big he was until we got him in the net.
Plank says her guess at the time was that the fish weighed around 30 pounds, but she'd never caught one more than 20 pounds or so in her 4 years fishing in the Sitka Derby and then growing up in Ketchikan before that. As it was their last pass of the day, they pulled their gear and headed into the weigh station. Despite the beautiful weather, fishing was not exactly red hot over the Memorial Day weekend. Winner or no, Plank was happy to see her family's efforts yield results.
You know, I was just so excited to have a fish to enter, honestly. If we win, that's a total bonus, but I mean, of course, I hope he holds out for a win. That would be nice, but it's just fun doing it. We just love Derby time.
Plank says that this is the first time she's been on the Derby leaderboard. Last year, she won a hidden weight prize, which netted $500. If this 40-pounder remains in the lead after next weekend's fishing, it will win her over $5,000 in prize money and a slew of other cash and prizes donated by Sitka businesses, including her own, the Sitka Bulk Goods Store. Currently in second place is Riley Bernhardt with a 33-pound, 5-ounce fish, which is just 3 ounces lighter than last year's winner. Bernhardt also leads in overall poundage landed after the first 3 days with 127 pounds, 9 ounces. If his success continues through next weekend, Bernhardt could collect $500 for first place in total poundage. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
The Kenai River King Salmon Run opened to anglers on June 1st. But anglers won't be allowed to keep kings. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game says recent estimates aren't looking great for the run, and anglers will be restricted to catch and release only. The early run also opened under catch and release in 2019 and 2018. The optimal escapement goal for the fishery is between 3,900 and 6,600 fish. And this run so far is reminiscent of the 2020 run, when just 2,444 total kings cleared the sonar. KDLL's Samin Pooks has more.
Colton Lipka is the sport fish area manager for Fish and Game. He says as of Sunday, only 72 large king salmon had passed through the sonar in Soldotna. That's 200 fewer than the same time last year.
Right now we're looking at a very slow start. This is one of the lowest starts that we've had. Similar to 2020 as far as counts and timing.
2020 was one of the department's lower years on record. And Lipka says most of the indicators this time around are suggesting a weak run as well. That said, it is still early for the fishery, and there's time for the run to pick up.
I mean, the fish will show up. It's just a matter of how many. We could just be looking at a late year, so these numbers could increase in short order. But if they don't, then our next step would actually be closure of the fishery.
The catch and release limitation isn't an unusual step for the department to take. Lipka says last year, the department opened under general regulations, allowing anglers to take one king a day, before then switching to catch and release restrictions in June. Midway through the 2020 early king run, the department closed the fishery altogether.
This year, we're being a little more proactive as far as recognizing this run is off to a pretty slow start.
Also watching closely are the Kenai River fishing guides who rely on anglers for business. Ray DeBartolabin is president of the Kenai River Professional Guide Association and guides sport fishermen from his Soldotna business, Long Live the Kings. He says he's grateful the department's been taking steps to protect the kings amid a downward trend for the species.
Been ongoing for statewide, actually, for many years now, and so we're kind of prepared to have Plan B and Plan C.
He says most Kenai River guides have diversified their businesses to account for the change in kings. He says halibut fishing, for example, is saving his business. He also takes anglers out on the Kasiloff River, where they can catch and retain hatchery-produced kings this year. And he says many other guides have taken similar steps. Others, he says, have given up on the fishery altogether.
The guiding numbers are definitely way down compared to what they were. Some people that just didn't want to diversify just quit doing it.
DeBartolabin says he'll be okay this year. He's been in the business for 3 decades. But he says newer guides might feel the effects of limitations and closures much more. The late Kenai King Run, which is more popular than the early run, starts in July. That's also slated to open up under catch and release restrictions. Anglers under catch and release can use one single hook, unbaited artificial lure to catch kings. Any kings they do catch, they must release immediately. In Kenai, I'm Sabine Pooks.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard-accepted, hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amse.org or 907-747-3287.
Last week, small crowds gathered at the Bethel seawall to harvest smelt with dip nets. The small silver fish usually run past Bethel for about 3 days. They are the first anadromous fish to travel from the Bering Sea up the Kuskokwim River each season. And their arrival marks the beginning of the Kuskokwim summer fishing season. KYUK's Alyssa Lachlan was at the Bethel seawall and brings us this audio postcard.
Fishing.
You're fishing for what?
Smelt.
Like I'm holding a fish.
I came up for my son's appointment, missed out down in Tututuyak. And I'm happy because I wanted dried smelts.
How do you use your dip net to catch the most fish?
Swing.
You just put it in the water. It depends on the tide. And you just...
Need another one. That one's real small.
You bite the smelt's head off and you get good luck after that.
I like to bake mine or fry mine.
I like them baked, fried, smoked, fried.
We deep fried.
It's a fish. It's looking at you. It's looking at you.
Statewide support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by Satellite Technical Services, authorized distributor for the ACR Bivy Stick, a small two-way satellite communicator. Dealers can be found at satellitewest.com or by calling 206-321-6896.
The federal government is suing the state of Alaska. Fish and Game Commissioner Doug Vincent Lang has been named in the suit, along with his whole department. The Fed is suing to force the state to prioritize the needs of rural subsistence harvesters of fish, particularly those who harvest Chinook and Chum salmon along the Kuskokwim River. In its introduction, the lawsuit states, quote, "The United States brings this action against the state of Alaska to protect subsistence use of the Kuskokwim River Chinook and Chum salmon populations by local rural residents who depend on these salmon for their physical, economic, traditional, and cultural existence. It goes on to say that, quote, the state's actions in contravention of a rural Alaskan subsistence priority are preempted by federal law and are therefore unlawful. The dispute goes back four decades. In 1980, the Alaska National Interest Lands Conservation Act was signed into law. ANILCA dedicated over 43 million acres of land in Alaska to public use by making them national parks, wildlife refuges, wild and scenic rivers, or national forests. It also officially recognized the lands granted to Native corporations by the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act and specifically prioritized the subsistence needs of rural Alaskans over other resource users. And so, in 1982, the Alaska Board of Fisheries and Game enacted regulations that created a rural subsistence priority in compliance with ANILCA. But the state stopped prioritizing subsistence users in 1989 after the Alaska Supreme Court ruled that such a preference was contrary to the Alaska Constitution, which guarantees equal access to all Alaskans. The federal government disagreed with them then, too, but as long as there were plenty of fish for everyone, it was a moot point. Plus, the Fed does not possess the resources for in-season management. The state does the actual on-the-ground management of Alaska's fisheries, and this presents a potential regulatory conflict when fish become scarce, as salmon have in the Yukon and Kuskokwim drainages. For example, in June 2021, the state opened the lower Kuskokwim to gillnet fishermen, while the Fed simultaneously declared it closed to protect the resource for rural users. At a meeting of the Federal Subsistence Board on March 29th, residents living on the Yukon River asked the federal government to wrest management of their salmon fisheries from the state. The temporary special action request was filed with the board by a resident of Rampart, the Holy Cross Tribe, the native village of Eagle, and a resident of Huslia. They asked the board to uphold the provision in ANILCA that prioritizes rural subsistence use by closing the 2022 salmon fisheries in their region to all but qualified rural subsistence users. The Kuskokwim River Intertribal Fish Commission has declared its support for the federal lawsuit. Their interim director, Kevin Whitworth, said, quote, the Fish Commission is heartened to see the federal government basically stand up to protect salmon and the importance of federal management, close quote. A spokesperson for the Department of Law said the state's management is sound and based on science and input from local stakeholders.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Matson. Good luck, class of 2022, and congratulations, Matson Scholarship recipients.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund in recognition of the fishing industry, which provides over 58,000 Alaskan jobs from a renewable source.